blessed assurance, Romans chapter 8, 37 to 39. Let us read the three verses together. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Blessed assurance, Romans 8, 37 to 39. The Bible tells us that through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8, 37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Every trial and tribulation in the believer's life will serve to build him up to have a closer walk with God. Christ's love will be experienced in those anguishing moments of trial. When Israel returned from 70 years of exile in Babylon, they were very discouraged. They were given a task to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and God gave them a series of 8 visions through the prophet Zechariah to encourage his people that his presence and love for them has not diminished and will not fail them. The visions, like windows that let in light to an otherwise dark house. God had to show them his love to encourage them to arise and build. You see, they were building their own houses, and it was a sad thing because they were building their house, and you know, as if in pockets filled with holes. It was very sad. It was a sad time, and God sent the prophet Haggai in order to awake them so that they may understand that when we deviate from God, right, you find that there is no life with it. We are going to be very disappointed at the end. And so God sent His visions to help them to get out of their desperation to walk their own way for their own gain, thinking that it is for their good. But they realize, right? So Zechariah gave this vision, 8 visions, in order to help them. So they had to first repent. They had to change. And if, you know, our repentance is not real, then God will, God knows, right? So God wants us to change, and God wants us to change truly, and God wants us to wants the change to be effective for our own eternal good. And so Zechariah says, I saw by night a man riding upon a red horse. He stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. Behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. Who is this man riding in the red horse? The interpreting angel explained to Zechariah that the man riding upon the red horse is the angel of the Lord. This is the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Before he was manifested in the flesh, the great head of the church, the myrtle tree is prized for its fragrant leaves. Its leaves give the richest fragrant odor only when bruised and crushed. So myrtle tree is very special, right? The plant only gives off the smell, good smell, when it is crushed. Right, bruised and crushed. So this is a picture of the persecuted returns, a small group of nearly 50,000 returning to Jerusalem, surrounded by massive hostile enemies. Even the insignificant group of Samaritans in the north became a really potent force to resist the returnees in their rebuilding project. This vision is a symbolic picture of Christ in the midst of his children in all their afflictions. The Lord knows, and the Lord is seeking that the people of God may be serious. They would arise and they would build their spiritual lives. You know, building our spiritual lives involves sacrifice, you know. Crucify the flesh, and walking with God. So unless we are truly crucified, that the flesh will not take hold of us, then you find that we are just, you know, kidding ourselves, right? At the end, we don't grow, and not only that, but the people around us, the family, will not be helped, right? The church, the people around will not be helped too, even worse. Well, the Lord doesn't want his people to continue in that state. So the myrtle trees at the bottom of the valley signifying the lowly estate of Israel. Christ standing among the myrtle trees signifies his presence with them in their distresses. And Jesus said these comforting words before his ascension to his disciples. All power is given unto me, and lo, in earth, and lo, I am with you always. You know, we gather to study God's word week after week, week after week. I pray that the Lord would motivate you to do something for the Lord. You know, as the Holy Spirit would guide you, we're going to have several sessions whereby we would speak concerning how the people of God cannot be just here as pew warmers. Right? We sit here, cannot go on like that. There must be a change, and therefore we seek that the people of God must take some real effort. Real effort in their own lives. Dearly beloved, are you in some kind of affliction and feel that you are at a low point in your life with problems so overwhelming? Remember this vision. Jesus is with you. Fear not. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved you. The encouragement is persevere on. Verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the conviction born out of a clear understanding concerning the unfailing power and desire of God to protect his people under his care. The Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus Christ's continual intercession for his people at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Do you know that? Why did the Apostle Paul say that he's persuaded that nothing can separate him from the love of God? Because he understood that the Lord Jesus Christ is there in heaven, defending him. Right, today, in our weekly article, we were discussing concerning the reason why Christ entered heaven. Right? For Christ entered heaven, Hebrews 9:24 says, into the holy place made with hands, not Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, what is the writer saying here? He's saying that Christ is entered into heaven itself and to appear in the presence of God for our sake. See, God wants you to know that He is with you and that He is able to help you. Right? That Christ has borne our sins and He's risen to heaven and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Seated at the right hand of the Father. All who will receive the offering of Christ upon the cross for their sins will escape the judgment of God for sins when Christ shall return again from heaven to judge the world. So, where did Christ enter? Well, into heaven itself. That's the first thing that the Lord wants us to know, you know. Right? That Christ entered into heaven itself. Heaven is a real place. That after Jesus died, He rose again from the dead. Then He was ascended where? He didn't just disappear, you know. But He's in heaven. The third heaven, in other words, the place of God's presence. Okay? And God wants us to know that heaven is a place whereby, you know, we would be there finally. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things are passed away. And when will God's people go to heaven? The Bible tells us, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, God wants us to know. And when our earthly life ends, our heavenly life begins. After Jesus resurrected from the dead and was ascended to heaven, Jesus entered heaven itself, opening for us the way to heaven. So we have the assurance we will enter heaven itself, receiving the promise of our eternal inheritance when we die. See, that is the whole point of it, you see. It's not about this earth and what you are able to get on this earth. Right? No. This is not what God is seeking for us to have. And we need to truly understand the will of God, the purpose of God. The purpose of God. And why is Jesus entered into heaven? Here is that it is for us. For us. He's entered into heaven for us. He was ascended there so that He may be there as an unchangeable priest, right, with an unchangeable priesthood, right, to make intercession for us continually. And so He will be there, and He is there so that we will not fall prey. Right? We will not fall prey to the wiles of the devil. We will not fall prey to the attractions of the world. Right? But Christ in heaven prays for us to ensure that we will not be lost. So here the Lord is saying to us that we are to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. God wants us to hold fast to our faith. God wants us to follow Him, walk with Him according to His ways. And you know, we can't walk with Him on the one hand, on the one foot with Him and the other foot in the world. We cannot. We have to be fully convinced, right, and that we are walking both foot in Jesus' boat. One foot with the world, one foot with the Lord. you would think cannot. And so here the Lord is saying to us that we are to hold on to that faith and have that assurance that, you know, you would arrive there finally in heaven. Isn't it comforting? But what does it entail? Well, we have a responsibility toward the Lord. And the Lord wants us to fulfill that responsibility toward Him. You know, it's not just to say that I live my life, I do well, I obey the commandment of God. But if you obey the commandment of God and you see someone that is not obeying, following the Lord, and you go along with the person, and you allow yourself, right, to say that this is my conviction, but I do something else, and you don't have the strength to tell the person and say to the person, no, this is not the way, then how much is your conviction worth? No. Is your conviction can your conviction be trusted? Can we trust your conviction? Because if it's not real, if it's not serious, and it is not backed up with a true conviction, then you find that many people are going to go astray because we are not able to follow through and do what God wants us to. And that's important, you see. Right? You grow in the truth, you grow in the grace of God, then you are convicted, then you share. But if your conviction is not real, not true, not, and it's shallow, it's not grounded, then you become a very dangerous person, right? Because by not having a firm conviction, you'll find that others can pull you along, and you get pulled along. And, you know, that's why our text tells us about these false teachers and false prophets that come. Many will follow them. Why? Because, well, I just go along. Easy. I just go along. We become a man pleaser. And that is sad. Cannot be. Because the people who are led along may not know. They may not understand. But those who claim that they have a conviction, then they don't act according to that conviction, this we have to be careful. We have to be careful because we know that it's going to affect other lives. Therein lies the danger. So the Lord is saying here to the people of God that we are to follow Him, walk with Him, and have the assurance that we are doing His will. There is nothing that shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the conviction born out of a clear understanding concerning the unfailing power and desire of God to protect His people under His care. The Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus Christ's continual intercession for His people at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He speaks of the indwelling Spirit that prays and enables the believer to have the strength to do God's will for his life. He tells us that we are a privileged people, chosen by the Father, called out from sin unto holiness. Now, if we have been called out from sin unto holiness, we've been purchased by the Son, having an intimate relationship with God, then it must show forth. We cannot And it is telltale, you see. It's telltale. And therefore, we have to be quite, you see, we have to be sober and make a true assessment of ourselves. Make a true assessment. As the Apostle Paul surveys his environment for anything that may potentially separate us from God's love, he found none. Not in the matter of death, for absent in the body is present with the Lord. Nor in life, for he experienced God's love keeping him. Not angels or principalities, nothing in the spiritual and natural realm. Not anything present, not anything in the future. You know, what is the function of angels? Have you wondered what is the function of angels? God made angels, right? One of the things that the angels do is to look at what we are doing. You know? If you are doing something for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, for the grace of God, wow, the angels will be there to applaud you. You remember the Jesus' story concerning the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son? What happens at the end of the story? The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice. The angels in heaven rejoice to see one soul converted, one soul coming to God. Wow, so happy, you know. So what is the purpose of the angels in heaven? Well, they are spirits looking to do the will of God for his glory. And you know, he look at man and he looks at what is going on here on earth. Well, he is there for the purpose of looking, you know, to forward the redemption plan of God. Well, it's a happy thing that you have these spirits, the angels there, right, to cheer you on, to be there for you, you know, in time of danger, to rescue you. Remember for when Peter was in prison, what happened? God sent an angel to rescue him, right? He managed to escape because the angel came and, you know, showed him the way out of the jail. Nothing can separate us, because all this, even the angelic beings, are under the control of God. The good and the evil ones. Even the evil angels, Satan himself, they are under the auspices of God. In other words, even Satan couldn't do anything out of the will of God. They're all under the will of God. And so this is the blessed assurance that the Apostle Paul has in his heart, that is translated in a lifetime of faithful ministry, finally dying a martyr's death. May God grant his people assurance that will propel them to humble service in his vineyard. Verse 38 and 39 also describes a triumphant day. The Apostle Paul testifies, he's convinced that God's love for him triumphs over all. There is nothing that stands in between that relationship. Jesus was born into human history more than 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, died on a cross as a substitute to reconcile man with the living God. Jesus rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death, and Jesus gives to every man who would believe in him eternal life. And we, by faith, appropriated this salvation. It's the ultimate blessing of God's love. And therefore, the Lord says to us that he sends us his abiding presence to comfort and assure us. Right? Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Let Nehemiah contemplates God's love. Never be afraid of God. unless you are sinning against Him. Always believe that behind what seems difficult, mysterious, there is God's heart, as true and tender as the heart of the sweetest, gentlest woman that ever pressed her child to her bosom. Nay, all the love in all God's hearts together. Unless we are walking contrary to the will of God, then we can be frightened. We want the things of this world for the sake of the things of this world, then we will be disappointed because God will not give it to us. But if you seek to serve God, walk with Him, follow Him, obey His commandments, wow, would God not bless every one of your prayers? Of course God will bless every one of your prayers. But if we seek our own will, you find that we cannot succeed. Why? Because we are against God. God is against us. You see. And therefore, the Lord wants us to know and would want us to see, right, that we cannot escape, and He wants us to follow Him with a true heart and serve Him with a true heart. And God wants to awaken us so that we will not continue to waste time and lose rewards. May the Lord be merciful to help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy presence and show us what is Thy holy will. Grant us the grace to do according to Thy holy will. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.